You're listening to DraftKings Network.
So much for listening to the Cooligans. In this one big old segment, we talk about a lot.
Okay, we go everything. We talk about the U20 World Cup,
the Champions League final,
the Champions League final,
the World Cup, the Gold Cup,
every cup, the teacup.
We get another, illustrious gift.
This one might top them all.
Absolutely. Plus, we talk about wearing dresses and crying.
All this and more today on the Cooligans.
Hey, this is Alexi Lalas. There is nobody in U.S. soccer that is more important than the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby! Aquí estamos!
Okay.
Let's just do an all Spanish episode.
That's right. So everyone from the Midwest, get your Duolingo apps ready.
Or get that app that you just press the button and it translates on the fly, but you just have to press the button the whole time for an hour and then let go. And then Siri reads it out to you for an hour.
And that app is called Your Latino Friend.
Yeah. It's called Bodeguero. Ask your friends about that.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. We are the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
Yeah, it is. And my name is Alexis Guerrero.
We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer podcast that you've ever listened to at the top of Madison Square Garden here in New York City. And it's not also the funniest soccer podcast.
It's also the funniest soccer podcast because it also happens to be the gulliest soccer podcast.
That is correct.
Come on.
We bring the heat every single week. Thank you so much for listening. And we have to mention, because we did lose the audio for last week's episode.
So here on the 201st episode, we would like to thank you for helping us reach 200.
That's right. So yeah, the audio is missing. It is gone. But in that little section, it's about 4 minutes of audio. We were thanking everybody for listening to the show and helping.
Remember, you cried. I did. You ripped your shirt off.
I ripped my shirt off. I had to do the show shirtless.
Yeah. There's video of us talking, yet there's no audio. So what were we saying? We were just saying that you guys are the absolute best, and it means the world to us that you have somehow told your friends, and you've told your loved ones, and you've told people you hated.
That's right.
Your coworkers, your churchgoers, your everybody, people you meet at buffets.
That's right.
On airplanes,
which I imagine is the majority of our audience.
You tapped your foot in the third stall of the bathroom at the airport.
Hey,
whatever you got to do to get the Cooligans
right,
out there.
It's called guerrilla marketing. Yeah, all right? Yeah. And you know, gorillas are my type.
Anyway. Yeah, I'm more in a Bears. Here we are. Hey, it's Pride Month.
Shouts to
all of our fans in the LGBTQ community.
That's right. So thank you thank you so much for listening to the show. You know, we do not say this lightly, is that this show and you people listen. What do you mean, you people?
Yeah. What you mean, you people?
But for everyone listening, you guys have drastically changed our lives. And it's
100%.
It's been so much fun to do this.
And we keep getting messages from people saying how much, like, we've added to their lives or changed their mood when they were in a rough period or just a bad day, things like that. And I don't think the fans hear enough how much them just allowing us to do this has enriched our lives.
Yeah.
And it has.
And when people send us nice messages like that, it's like, you know, it gives us like a renewed sense of purpose of like, yeah, we're comedians. We've been slogging at this for a long time.
Yeah.
And now, you know, we're able to give our gift of of laughter.
We're able to spread our seed of laughter.
Sure. Yeah. You know, we word it in different ways.
Yeah, but we mean it both the same.
So
we love the fact that we get to be inside inside you once a week.
Which is, that's literal, I guess.
Yeah, we're in your ears.
The audio waves of what we're saying now.
The waves.
Is going inside. So thank you so much.
Just got a text from Tim. God forbid. He put "you're welcome." All right. So he did. He lost the audio, but he apologized. So it's not a big deal.
It's all good.
Imagine this part of the show gets lost as well. It's like, we just never can thank the fans.
just the universe that won't allow it. So thank you. Seriously. It's awesome. And we will plan on making the next 200, even more gully and more funny. So, we're going to keep at it. So a lot to talk about today.
Champions League final.
Champions League final.
Thank you, Liverpool.
I'm not happy that Liverpool won because I'm an Everton fan, but it's also,
it was a weird moment for us because we're hosting this event and you're an Everton fan. So you want Liverpool to not win.
Correct.
I'm an Arsenal fan. So I need at the deepest of my core for Tottenham not to win. And there's fans of both of those teams there.
Yeah.
So I was a de facto Liverpool fan. You were kind of a de facto Tottenham fan.
Yeah.
I think even for you, it was difficult to root for Tottenham.
I don't hate Tottenham.
No, neither do I.
I also don't hate Liverpool. I just think it's because I've only really been following Everton for like 5 years, that there isn't, like, I didn't grow up with some hatred towards Liverpool.
Right. You didn't get beat up in school every time you wore your Everton shirt.
Yeah, even though I did see the Everton logo, the little
the top of the tower,
little tower that was vandalized by Liverpool fans. They
made it into a penis, didn't they?
That already pretty much looks like a penis. Yeah. They don't need to.
Did
do
you
too
see
much.
The video of the one fan who got arrested for nakedly masturbating during the festivities, the Liverpool festivities after the game in Madrid?
No, I didn't see that. Why? I mean, what's the big deal? It's just celebrating.
Just up on a perch.
They didn't arrest that Eagles fan that ate the cow shit.
No.
The horse shit.
They patted him on the back.
Like, good for you, buddy. Yeah.
And you know what he said? Tasted better than the pizza in Philly, believe it or not.
That's a direct quote.
Flames.
They graffitied, they spray painted the number 6 several times all over for, you know, six Champions League titles, but
or six European titles.
The European Championship, right? But it says 6 several times, so it just looks like 666, the mark of the devil.
Yeah, Everton, a bunch of goth fans. That's hilarious.
But yes,
we retweeted it though. You got to read the article in The Guardian. The way it explains what this one set of cops had to do, like, they arrested a guy for stealing a ticket, and then they immediately had to run away and help a camera crew whose camera was getting stolen by Liverpool fans. And then after that, they turn around and there's just a naked guy masturbating. it was like the funniest article. Yeah. That one cop was like, this was too much.
What crime do we go after first? Yeah.
Which one's the worst here? All right, this guy's got a few minutes left, so let's try to get this camera back.
Insane. Yeah, I also saw a footage of a bunch of Liverpool fans running into the Barcelona team store and singing the song, you know, that's Manchester City. I'm thinking the other one. So congratulations, Liverpool. You had a rough go of it last year, but made up for it.
They
won handily. I mean, it was a breeze.
Mohamed Salah with that penalty, and then nothing happened for 86 minutes.
Sure. I mean, the Sadio Mane forced handball to Sissoko was
titty ball.
that's what you were calling it while we were hosting. And again, thank you again for everyone that came out to
World Soccer Shop Bohemian Hall
in Astoria. We got to host essentially our first game, right? We haven't done anything.
We did
like that.
Commentary during the game. Yeah. We've done it for other stuff, but not like, no one's asked us to hold the mic the entire time,
especially for such a big event, right?
Yeah.
So I was,
which, by the way, all those NY fests easily prepared us. They're like, oh, you just want us to be on mic for 5 hours? Not a problem.
All good.
Yeah. Oh, day at the beach.
But it was fun to kind of experience the game with Liverpool fans and Tottenham fans. And we could basically roast the team whenever we could. It was weird because we've been doing comedy so long that we're just used to hecklers, right? So
yeah.
We weren't disparaged or it wasn't difficult to like, we sort of expected it.
Yeah,
right?
Almost corralling that crowd was easy.
We've done with some absolute monsters at comedy clubs.
You run a show where the stage is open behind you to the street. If you can deal with that on a weekly basis, you're fine.
So, yeah, we basically invite heckling.
Not during our comedy shows. Please, you will be kicked out.
So, but the idea of handling a heckler at a comedy show and handling just a tipsy soccer fan is pretty
easy peasy.
All I'm saying is that we've had a lot of experience.
Yeah.
And that experience came in handy because, you know, you do comedy for so long and you're like, what the hell am I doing this for? And
you have
some of those days. I'm like, this crowd was terrible. I'm hurt to my core.
It's like they as a group decided I'm not good at this. You know what I mean? Like from the moment I walked on stage,
they didn't even speak to each other.
They don't know each other. They're strangers, but they intrinsically knew. Nah, this ain't it, chief.
So that
there's those nights.
It happens. So it happens often, and it was cool to be able to watch a soccer game and it also feel like a comedy show at the same time. You know what I mean? That's really what the fun of it was, because while we were watching it, we could interact with the audience, make jokes, people yelling at us and going back and forth. Super fun.
People were trying to like joke on us and we were like, yo, we're prepared for this. It was so much fun. And like the cool thing about it was like there was a bit of a crowd that kind of gathered around us specifically to be near us while the game was on.
Oh yeah.
It's like some people decided, you know, watching the game would be cool, but why don't we watch it with these two comedians talking?
Yeah.
And we've been saying that we know that this is a skill set of ours. We just have never done it. We've never proven it.
Sure.
And we proved it.
Yeah.
I think it was great. But shouts to World Soccer Shop. World Soccer Shop.
Awesome.
Super fun.
Everyone out there was great. And thank you. A lot of World Soccer Shop did give away a bunch of jerseys and gifts, and they raffled off a lot of stuff.
A lot of people left before the raffle was over, so they
really
didn't win.
Dumb, because a couple of Cooligans fans actually did win.
Yeah, because other people weren't winning.
Because other people weren't winning, yeah.
So we legit went through, like, I think 9 names in a row that weren't there.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Look, shout out to that. I'm wearing the U.S. Women's National Team kit.
Because no one took it.
And this is great because this is not a men's jersey. This is the women's jersey. The women's cut, and I'm wearing women's clothing on Pride Month.
And yo,
and
this is not something that filter of the man you put up before would wear. This is, but it looks great on you, dude.
I look good in women's clothing.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's been questioned before, but now we got proof, my guy.
All right, we are certain now.
Let's get that Zulily sponsorship.
Okay, you know, Sephora, right?
Yeah.
Up front,
you think I won't wear a dress?
Try me, dog.
Yeah. Yo, give me one of them sundresses, my G. Let that wind hit me where I need it. Cool me off.
Okay. Stop staring, sir.
Yeah, yo. You better not be going up the escalator that many steps behind me.
I see what you're doing.
Dirt dog.
So thank you, man.
And your boy don't wax.
So thank you. Yeah, I feel good in it. This, you know,
buddy, you look good in it.
I've never worn a woman's cut jersey before. And you know, I can sort of feel the spots where I'm like, okay, I think I may have a man's frame.
Yeah,
you know?
It does. It kind of comes in. It's inverted parentheses.
Correct.
Yeah.
But you know what? I gotta say, I like.
It also kind of skirts out at the bottom.
And I love skirts. You do skirt steaks.
Oh, buddy, now we're talking. Put skirt steaks at the bottom of your jersey.
But I gotta be honest. I like this cut better. I sort of like that.
It fits your shape.
Yeah, you know, and I want my, you know, certain parts of my torso to be accentuated.
Yeah,
you know?
It is. It's giving you curves.
It's really my only strength. So I'm glad that it can showcase that.
It's specifically built for a man with a 28 size waist.
So I appreciate it. So thank you.
If I wore that, I would need 2 people to help me get out of it.
Okay. So we usually start the show by, you know, showing love to the people who show love to us.
Of course. Why would would we do anything?
And we got a bunch of great reviews on iTunes. We're at 465 reviews. Help us get to 500.
Yeah, we're so close to 500.
We're so close. Just do it. You're on your phone right now. You don't. Just do it.
Yeah.
You got cell reception. Just do it.
Are you listening right now while looking at your phone? What?
Insane.
I mean, what else should you be doing?
You're on what? Two dots?
By the way, three people came up to us and were like, yo, love the show. I still haven't reviewed yet. What are you doing? Stop talking to me right now. Go do it.
To take the train, to go to a story, to come, then walk up to us and tell us that you haven't left a review than it is to just leave a review.
You had 86 minutes of non-action. You couldn't leave a little review?
So, here, I'm going to read this one because... Oh, did we read... no, we didn't read this one. This one was really fun. So, this is from Mataburro.
Oh, I like this one.
Okay, so if you don't know, Mataburro is like a donkey.
Yeah,
and this guy
donkey
kills,
killer,
donkey killer. So
okay,
watch out for him on Fortnite.
Right, you thought Donkey Kong was a.
So the subject is a Dominican and half Uruguayan / half Cuban walk into a podcast.
Okay,
okay, so this
okay, a little cheat thing.
I've read this in a joke book before.
Yeah, so, common joke structure here, folks. Dominican and a Cuban Uruguayan walk into a bar.
And goes and make and continues the subject it walk into a podcast and make the gulliest soccer show there is. If you want the analysis, listen to those beards,
the Brit and the Lumberjack,
the Brit and the Lumberjack with the prepubescent voice. We know who you're talking about.
It is shocking the difference in his voice and Taylor when you see him in person.
So and it continues, goes, if you want four people disagreeing about how Slosh the grumpy one is, listen to those extra guys.
Ooh, okay.
Okay.
Okay. Shots fire.
Some shade. But if you need to laugh because your team has just dropped 3 points to the worst team in the conference, then the Cooligans are your guys. P.S. It's called Bombilla. My wife's Bolivian. Believe that.
Believe that. Oh, my God.
Thank you so much, Mataburro. Thank you so much for the review. Thank you from us for roasting everybody in the industry. Because we always love that, and thank you for helping us get to those 500.
I'm gonna read two of them.
Okay, quickly.
Okay, this is by Mr. Duchamp. Okay, we got a French man listening. Very nice. The subject is, they told me to do it, and then the whole thing is, I was scared not to give 5 stars. Okay. That was it. That's the whole thing. Let me read the other one. It's titled Peer Pressure. This is by Sir Eugene 11. Peer Pressure. The whole thing is guilt tripped into this.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
All right. So it's working. You know,
this is what we've been trying to do.
All right.
You better be leaving. I feel like at least one of these guys was at. He's like, I better do it. Yes, I got
to
do this.
We went to the Jewish school of mothering. Right? Yeah, yeah. We guilt people into doing everything.
By the way, definitely. And that's just called growing up in a Cuban household. You think I don't know guilt, my guy? I was raised in the darkness.
So thank you so much for the reviews. We appreciate it. Truly do help, and hopefully we can catch up on the number of reviews as some other shows that have thousands and thousands.
Crazy.
So
we're making our way there. We're getting to 500.
We're getting there. So little by little, every review counts. So let's quickly talk about before a bunch of other things that we need to discuss. Let's just talk about the U.S. Youth national team, the U-20. The U-20 World Cup is going on right now, and literally
we just finished watching it.
We started U.S. recording
France
late because we wanted to make sure we saw the end of this game because it was that incredible. But the United States defeats France in the U-20s,
bodied them
in the round of 16, moving to the quarterfinals. Won 3-2. Two goals from
lost the lead and came back.
Yeah, two goals from Sebastian Soto and one from Justin Renick. Insane. If you haven't seen this game, the U-20 World Cup is going on Fox Sports. It was on FS2.
This is one of the knockout games.
This is insane. It's incredible. France were like the favorites to win the whole thing, and they've been knocked out. And really, the only like names that we knew like that stood out were obviously
Timo Weah. Obviously,
you know, we know Christian Pulisic is not there. This dude,
Pomacle's there.
Pomacle's there.
I'm trying to think who else.
Sargent's not there. You know, Sargent's, there's a bunch of available players that are not.
So not our A squad just beat the favorite in a World Cup.
It's incredible. It really, I mean, and it's like there's reason to be like, all right, let's kind of refocus ourselves and be like, yo, this is kind of a big feat and appreciate what they've been. Who knows if they're going to win the whole thing? I mean, they've had a lot of heartbreak, but the youth teams, especially at the U20s, have the last couple World Cups, the U20 World Cups, they've done pretty well. I think they've reached every quarterfinal.
Yeah.
But to knock off France, especially after the group stage that they did have the date,
which was the toughest matchup you could get in the round of 16, and here we are.
Yeah, so next up is Ecuador. I think you would have to assume that the U.S.
You're done, Ecuador.
they should do a little bit, but Ecuador did beat Uruguay, Uruguay. So I feel strange saying it in English.
Uruguay is
tough. Feels odd. Paraguay feels a little better for some reason.
Paraguay sounds like you're flexing a little bit when you say it in Spanish. Paraguay. Everyone's like, okay. We get it.
But Uruguay.
That's how I say it.
That's like both. That's like one syllable Spanish.
I'm showing you I can, but I'm not going all the way in. You know, just a tip. I go Spanish and just a tip. Uruguay.
Okay. So stay tuned. That game is going to be on Saturday, I think at 11:20 Eastern. We haven't been talking about the U20 World Cup because we don't really expect the U.S. to do that well.
Well, not just that. We also have all the fanfare for the Women's World Cup.
So it's just like this is definitely taking a back seat, but this has been pretty huge. So congrats to them, and I hope they continue and do well.
Speaking of the Women's World Cup, or just the World Cup in 2019, mm-hmm. when we were at the media day, remember I was giving all the praise and plaudits to the Hairbender blend of coffee. Best coffee I ever had in my life. Guess what? Not only is that a Stumptown coffee, but it's legitimately brewed by a fan of ours.
Oh,
Eric Keating.
Oh, that's right.
How insane is that?
Small world.
Shouts to the Portland Timbers, right? He's a huge Portland Timbers fan. And the Slurpers, his team.
That's right. The Stumptown Slurpers.
Absolutely.
They play out there in Brooklyn.
And that gets us to our next thing. If you're watching the video, you're wondering why we have a box that says Soccer City USA on it. Scusa.
That's right.
Well, we got an exclusive gift or something. They shipped us something. It's a weird shape. This doesn't look like a jersey.
This doesn't look like a jersey.
It looks like a bottle of wine.
Yeah, or something like that. Yeah.
Which we will drink.
And it is fairly heavy. So I'm holding, I don't know why I'm just holding a knife.
I'm holding a knife because I want you to know I don't appreciate gifts.
No, thank you so much to the Portland Timbers for sending us this gift.
Whatever this is. Let's open it and
take a look. That's right. We always say on this show, it's nothing but illustrious gifts.
Yeah. If you send us gifts, we will make an entire segment out of it.
So here we go. Let me just open this.
Come on, Bitcoin. Send us something.
Okay.
Got it. You could give me the knife. You're so afraid to give me a knife.
Okay.
Don't rip it.
I'm not ripping anything.
All right. Here we go.
Hold on. There you go. All right.
Okay. So it's made of wood. Oh my god.
Oh my goodness. This is incredible.
Wait a minute.
It's a wooden block.
It's like an etching. It's like a laser etching of the new stand that says Scusa Portland.
Yeah. Oh my god.
That's so dope. Shouts to them for the new stand, by the way. Yeah, I know how hard the team worked there. Right, Kayla and Danny and everybody else over there. Shouts to Danny for working with Portland Timbers.
What? Okay, this is a metal.
Oh my god.
This is really heavy.
So this goes on top of this.
Okay.
It's an I-beam.
What I think, this is a beam from...
Wait a minute, there's a stand for it.
Providence Park.
There's a wooden stand that says Grand Opening Weekend. June 1st through 2nd, 2019.
And it has the Portland Timbers logo.
And the Portland Thorns. And then there's an actual steel beam.
This is a steel beam from the stadium.
And also, this is wood that's reclaimed from the 1920 seats.
Unbelievable.
How insane is that?
Dude, I could cry. This is amazing.
What a gift.
Is there anything else in there?
No, there's nothing else in here. Okay. Wow, that is absolutely insane.
Unreal. Yeah, we're like,
I don't even think we're legally allowed to take that on the subway.
We're kind of speechless. Yeah, if you haven't, if you're listening to this podcast, watch this on YouTube. It'll be up there. And holy smokes, this is absolutely gorgeous. Thank you so much, to everyone in Portland. I know it was a great opening weekend. Even though they didn't get a win, it was a great game that we're going to talk about.
It was an incredible game.
Yeah. But
all right, here we go. I got the information on my phone. With the celebrated reopening of Providence Park on June 1st, 2019, following a sparkling $85 million transportation, the iconic venue embraces yet another chapter in its storied history. As Portland's civic gathering place for nearly a century, Providence Park now features an additional 4,000 seats as part of the new towering new east side of the stadium. While the charm and the essence of its rich history remains, complemented with enhancements throughout the entire venue as it was originally constructed in 1926. As a historic stadium relaunches this summer, the enclosed three-dimensional engraving celebrates this unique union of old and new. The relief featuring the new east side is etched in Alaskan strain grain fur, sourced from the seating bench backs original to the stadium from 1926. The relief sits on a steel I-beam used in the construction of the new east side seating structure. The piece is finished with a glulam wood base, part of a previous renovation of the facility in the 1980s. How insane is that?
Sorry,
I'm the one who had to read that, by the way.
This is just a piece of history. This is incredible.
The own Merritt Paulson has this in his office.
Yes,
and we now have it.
Yeah, that's right. I think we own a piece of the timbers now.
We literally do.
This is how it works. I think
shouts to all the fans who have like a cut of the block of wood, you know, from the goal scores.
Oh, sure.
I don't know how many of them got I-beams though. You know what I mean? You got I-beams, my guy. Oh, I'm sorry. Could you murder someone with a gift? That is incredible.
This is great. We would have been fine with some scaffolding, to be honest.
Bro, you could have sent us a t-shirt. Yeah. This is insane. Yeah, shouts to Portland
Thank
Timbers.
Thank you so much to Portland Timbers.
Illustrious gifts.
This is an incredible gift. Thank you so much. All right. So this will be on the table for the duration of the show. So let's talk about a bunch of stuff.
Let's throw it out of the window, see if it kills somebody. I'm joking, 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 joking.
What a very childish joke, Alexis.
17th floor.
Okay, it will. I mean, we'll...
Yeah, if a penny could do it.
Yeah, okay.
Which, by the way, it can't. That's not true.
I'm sure.
Well, Alexis, no, Mythbusters
Alexis
did an episode.
Has tested it quite a bunch. Okay, so a bunch of things to discuss. Let's start real quick with Omar Gonzalez. Just announced he is going to TFC. He's going to Toronto.
Omar Gonzalez is going to TFC. Josie's back with the national team. Seems like everyone's trying to wedge themselves back in the good graces with America.
But didn't know Omar Gonzalez did get called up by Berhalter.
Yeah,
once. Since the debacle,
right,
of the World Cup, missing out on the World Cup. But I thought when I saw this, I'm like, oh, of course he's going to go to Canadian team because no American team is going
right,
to take
him. Right, because he can't handle it here. Just hopscotching America going from Mexico to Toronto.
So, I think it'll definitely be helpful. Toronto has not... They've been sort of inconsistent defensively. So, it can't hurt having him there. But he is...
I don't know that it hurts, but I also don't know how much they paid for him. I mean,
they haven't released any real information. I know it was Toronto did pay a transfer,
yeah,
but they didn't say how much.
But they said it was paid down by TAM, so it's got to be at least $1 million, right?
Maybe, yeah. He's coming from Atlas in Liga MX. They won like a Clausura, I think, his first like season there or something like that. But
he played well.
He played well, but apparently he hasn't been very good the last couple seasons with Atlas, and I think they kind of wanted to get rid of him sooner rather than later. So it can't hurt. Like I said, I think he'll be fine in Toronto, but I don't necessarily...
I'm pretty sure when he first went to Mexico, he was with Pachuca.
Oh, that's right. That's right. He did. He won with Pachuca.
Yeah, he won with Pachuca.
And then he went to Atlas. Okay. Yeah, you're right. So
can we get the audio, Tim, of Christian saying I'm right?
Sure.
Yeah, please don't lose that, Tim.
The other thing Should we talk about the games? Should we just get right into it?
Sure, yeah.
Because I think this Portland LAFC game had a lot happened.
Yeah, so we open the gift before we talk about the game.
Which is fine.
Just because they lost, which sucks. You know, you open up your stadium and you lose. But it was one of those games where the atmosphere seemed incredible. I saw on Twitter that people were saying, first of all, the amount of LAFC fans that showed up, and they had one metal detector for them. We went to the stadium. It's a very old stadium. It's not one of these like new stadiums that have like all these open gates. It's very much walking into a building.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't necessarily feel old.
Oh, it does. It feels like not ancient, not like old, like it needs to be replaced. It feels like it was designed a very long time ago.
Oh, sure.
Like, you know, like around Atlanta, there's like all these open spaces where you go in to security. This is you're walking into a building.
Yeah.
So there's only so many doors. You know what
correct,
I mean?
Correct.
So all those LAFC fans were in that tunnel that we went through for media, I believe.
Yes, yes.
And it kind of goes down and it's like not a big space.
It is not.
No. Yeah. So there was a lot of people. I think it was like something like 800. No, it couldn't have been 800 people.
I don't know how many, but it was quite a number.
Our homie Andrew Medina was there.
Yeah. I mean, it looked to me, LAFC, especially on those West Coast trips, they go hard. I mean, it's like, it's incredible to see. And it's beautiful.
It really is.
It is just a group of people. The level of energy, the level of diversity is beautiful to see, especially on away games. The fact that they can organize that and there is that kind of that much energy and effort,
there's
and
like a fervor behind it's
crazy. And it's also not cheap to do that stuff, you know.
No.
It's like it is a big deal. So
I was watching some, you know, I was randomly just left YouTube on and there was a video of a guy who's like, you know, he was like, oh, I wanted to fly to from Manchester or Liverpool to Madrid for the game. He goes, but the flights are so expensive. Normally those flights are £60, but right now they're going for £200-£300. You know, $200-$300 is an incredible flight.
Yeah.
In America. I don't know how are flights so cheap in Europe. I have no clue. Right? Are they flapping? What are we doing here?
In Europe, even though you're going to different countries, you're not necessarily going a far distance.
But what I'm saying is, I mean, you know, I would venture to guess that Liverpool to Madrid is roughly the same amount of time as Los Angeles to Portland.
Okay. Yeah.
And those flights are probably $300 on the regular.
Sure.
You know, you're lucky if you find a round trip flight for like $190. You know what I mean? So the fact that that many people could just take off from work and fly, it's insane.
Yeah. I mean, it's a weekend. I mean, I don't know how many people got work.
Sure. All right. Take all the wind out of my sails there.
A Europa League game on a Wednesday. Yeah, that I get. You know, it might be a little bit more challenging.
Thursday, son of a.
Thursday, whatever.
Where Arsenal will play forever. I'm going to start getting proud of it. All right. Whatever, yo. Tottenham didn't win. We goody.
But, you know, we were talking a couple weeks ago about if there's a rivalry between the Red Bulls and Atlanta United and like how real is it, how much you
right
know, yo this Portland LAFC,
if it wasn't before this game,
yes it is very much. I mean, these teams do not like each other.
Here's the thing, there's some type of bad blood there.
Yeah.
Diamande, clearly from last season, holding on to that.
Yeah.
As fair. Okay,
totally.
And there's just some chippiness even around that.
Dude, everybody.
They also, I love the idea of like, remember Hackershack?
Yeah, yeah. Hackavella.
Hackavella. Yeah.
Hackavella sounds like a
Machiavelli.
It sounds like a prospect coming through.
Sounds like the dopest rap label from the 90s. Are you a Rockefeller? I'm a Hackavella. It's the hack. It's the H. A. C.
Yo, yeah. Carlos Vela. Carlitos Vela was.
Had no idea that word had an S at the end of it. I know I'm Cuban. We don't put the S's on anything.
He was getting abused. I mean, look, and whether that is.
By the way, Ladero still gets that foul more than him. Isn't that crazy?
I could see that.
Per 90?
Yeah, I could see that. These players that are kind of... Vela's a little different because he's not really in the midfield like that.
Yeah.
So, Ladero, Maxi Morales also, I would say, is probably very much up
Maxi
there.
Maxi Morales is abused. Yeah,
they don't care how little he is.
They take out the aggression they have on their children on him.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I thought you were my child and this was the 70s.
Yeah. Get out of here and go clean your room. I'm sorry. You're Maxi.
So, yeah, I would argue, yeah, he's pretty high up there. But those midfielders that just hold on to the ball and are annoying, you can't get the ball off of them.
Yeah.
You understand why they would be fouled a bunch. But
Moxie's one of those guys, too. He doesn't, like, run around you. He just moves the ball slightly away from you.
Yeah.
That would just send me through the roof.
You're so frustrated.
I would just, I'd mush. You got to go mush, right? Mush is the next step.
I'm going to mush this 5'3" yeah. man.
Why is this child playing with me?
But when Carlos Vela gets fouled, he very much as a forward, especially when he tries to put like who was it? I forgot who was it that fouled him. But the when he has his back to goal, so he's just trying to hold up. He's trying to do some hold up play. But when Carlos Vela tries to do hold up play, the everybody else is like, "Yo, all right, this he can't see us, so we're gonna strike him in any part of his body that we like." And he was I'm not even arguing that it's like dirty.
Yeah,
like I get that. It's a part of the game.
And it's a part of the game,
and
right?
they're trying to slow LAFC down.
It's also dangerous. I mean, you might start getting yellows and reds,
and that's the thing. And there weren't many yellows and reds.
No, the refs were like, "Let's see how this plays out,
kids.
Yeah.
Settle down and walk to your corners."
Although there will be suspensions, the disciplinary committee.
There has to be something.
I was waiting for the emails just because they send it to the media now.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for it because there was a bit of a scuffle that happened in the game. If you didn't watch it, LAFC wins 3-2. Portland comes back with a great bicycle kick by not Santos. What's his name?
Fernandez.
Brian, the bruiser. It's not really a bicycle because the other foot didn't leave. It was sort of like the Zlatan type of bicycle.
I was still incredible. Brian. I mean, can you do it?
It was at least a unicycle, the e-bike. The old bird scooter. Hit him with the old bird scooter. So can I do it? Of course I can. Are you kidding me? Would you want to rip apart every tendon in my legs? And also when I land, you got a divot and you have to bury me, okay?
Just put him right on the firing spark, guys.
Leave him in the divot. what you would call it? It's like that SpongeBob gif.
Pull
the dirt right over. I'm done. So... again, Portland loses at home in their first game. Great game, though. Great atmosphere from both sides. But yeah, there's a bit of a scuffle. What is that, in like the 79th minute, something like that?
Yeah, towards the end of the game. And
here's what I saw. I saw it, and then they showed a couple angles, and I couldn't see it until we started seeing the slow-mo. Diamande put his hands like in a claw-like thing on someone's neck.
It was like kind of a choke. Push.
Yeah, it was like, but it was also like a choke claw push. I like you adding moves together.
But it was
really mashed the buttons on Street Fighter.
We were watching this in slow motion, and at normal speed, you would not specifically say he was like choking or really doing anything.
It's hands to the neck and face. Fernandez did the same thing, but he did this weird thing of like he went to put his hand around the dude's neck, but then just used his thumb to lightly stroke the cheek because I think he realized, oh my god,
okay,
I'm not allowed to do this. No, I'm in. Embracing
I'm
this man.
I'm just caressing this man's face.
Well, that's against the rules now. During Pride Month?
I'm just trying to show love.
Yeah.
And show some affection, which I think is really much missing from the game.
I'm not crossing the line. If anything, I'm caressing the line. Okay?
Up and down, slowly.
Yeah, slowly with my thumb. Who knows where it goes? Yeah. he's clearly hands to the neck and face.
Yeah. But
you're done.
You know, these... Like, and people were making the comparison to Zlatan again, you know, with Sean Johnson and that choke and all that other stuff. It's weird because it sets these precedents. But if we're following the rules, then no matter if it was, for a millisecond of like at the neck or whatever.
If Kaká gets a red card for his silly, scraping the face
of Aurelien Collin a couple years ago.
Then there's got to be something.
Yeah, this is the...
I hope it's not, because clearly nothing major happened, but, you know, whatever, that first part that transpired, something's probably going to come
out. Yeah, it just shows that there is a lot of... there's just very much bad blood between these two teams, and so that it makes it more entertaining for, like... It's like
the fan bases don't hate each other. It's just the players. It's a weird rivalry.
The fan bases hate each other a little bit.
No, I think they're having fun with each other, but there's no like bad blood. There were no fights. I don't think there were fights or anything.
I mean, but that's why in general, like I think Portland fans and Timbers Army, like you know, we've hung out with a bunch of them. It's like
the nicest
people you're gonna meet. Everyone's absolutely. Like super kind. Yeah, on every team, every single team has like idiots that are just like trolls on Twitter or say sort of mean stuff or whatever. But it is what it is. Those people don't speak for like the majority and whatever. So but overall. It does feel like these, Anthony Joshua, right? Just lost to the big man, the Mexican dude.
Shouts to my new spiritual leader, Andy Ruiz Jr.
One downstairs.
Yeah.
We're right above where
Big man
came in. He's like, you got muscles? Yeah. Not impressed.
Oh, wow. You don't eat carbs? That's mad cute.
Let me finish my cheeseburger before I knock you out, dog.
Can we start this fight in a few minutes? I order pizzas, take longer than expected.
So that's sort of what it feels like, where these teams, you know, there are these kind of back and forth or whatever, but they tend to they have these scuffles and those feel like the weigh-ins where they somebody throws a punch or whatever.
Yeah. And then
it hypes up the next fight. And that's how I feel with Portland LAFC every time they play.
If this is in the playoffs, I can't wait to see the game of the two of them. I would want to go to that so bad.
That would be dope too. And it would be like, obviously, like if the standings stay the same, it would probably be LAFC hosting it. Under this scenario is when I would still want it to be two legs.
Yes.
Two games between these teams.
Home and away between them.
Oh man, it would be wild.
That'd be fire. There would be a fire.
Why is Timber Joey on fire?
He seems cool with it.
So, entertaining game. Look, we're neutrals here. We're watching this, and it's just like, yo, the Western Conference in general.
That's an exciting one.
Is where
this year.
The fun currently is. The Eastern Conference is still.
It's mad weird. Philly up top,
DC. It's like all these draws. Why? Yeah. Orlando's winning. This makes no sense.
Yeah, this is an odd one. How about Cincinnati just taking the lead for the wooden spoon this year now?
Sure. But Cincinnati's in the West. I mean, they're going to have a tough time. They should put them in the East.
Put them in the East. You need us.
So, I was just on Cincy Soccer Talk.
Yeah, you were.
So you can listen to that podcast.
It literally just came out today.
Yeah.
Well, yesterday, if you're listening to this on
Wednesday. Correct. But you can check that out, talking about the matchup coming up between NYCFC and Cincinnati. And I got to, I mentioned, you know, your trashing of Skyline Chili a little bit.
They were cool with it?
They didn't really, I was like, look, I don't speak for him. I'm just relaying a message.
I'm gonna get it thrown at me when I come back to Cincy.
So thank you again for having me on there. This matchup, I'm just looking forward to it forever. Yeah. It seems like for the next couple of years, this will be a game that always kind of means a lot to these teams. Mm-hmm. It seems to be more, I would argue it's more chippy than El Tráfico. Right. So far, we've had more contentious matches between Portland and LAFC.
At least on the field. Yeah.
Yeah.
In the stands, I think it's El Tráfico is still. The LA Clásico, if you want to listen to Bob Bradley, which I don't unless he's in front of me, in which case I will be wildly respectful. That man is wildly intense.
Yeah. I would agree. Maybe. I think without a doubt, it's as a neutral, it's one of the more fun games to watch.
So exciting. And especially in a park like Portland, there's just it does have that feeling, especially after having been there and getting to see it. You're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's got like this really old school appeal. Somebody posted a picture of it, and Vuj from Kopenhagen was like, yo, where is that? That's like a proper intimate park. And everyone was like, it's Providence Park. I'm like, someone tell him where that is. Not everyone knows Providence Park is in Portland. So I was like, yo, that's Portland, my guy.
That's funny. It's interesting when people in Europe show love to, you know, because we usually used to getting trashed anything MLS related.
It still was a little condescending, like, oh, wow, you guys actually have an intimate park.
Pat you on the head, you know?
Matt Q, what you guys are trying to do out here?
But there is, I you know, part of me wishes that there wasn't that like clamoring for that validation and acceptance.
I don't have it anymore. I could care less if you
I'm
it like or not.
I'm so less interested. I genuinely feel this way, and after you know, following and covering this league for the last few years as we have, there's so much untapped like stories and interest,
so much,
and that I'm like, European football is like dull to me. It's so like,
it's, we love it, but we're same. Like, we get it. You play soccer for 90 minutes and then that's it.
Well,
a couple people talk trash on their fan TVs.
How many stories have we heard of people who telling us that they've like interviewed European players or European coaches and stuff like that? And we hear, this happens a lot. We hear stories like, oh, well, I was talking to whatever, it doesn't matter what team, like
Leverkusen,
let's say. And they were like, hey, you have to give us a list of questions that, so that we can review them and all that stuff.
Verify what you're going to ask.
And we'll be honest. Yo, no American teams do that for us.
No.
They just like, yo, have fun.
Look, it's not easy to get the interviews.
No, not at all. But they
teams are a little bit like, wait, what? You guys want to interview? Why? But they're not like, send us the questions and our media team is going to verify. They're like, once they're like, well, they said they want to do the interview, so go ahead.
Yeah. So there's so much more protective and cautious in Europe that for our podcast would have a tough time existing in Europe.
Yeah, for sure.
Because we wouldn't really be able to talk to players.
I mean, we wouldn't be able to talk to anybody.
It would just be really, really challenging unless we were like working with some big conglomerate media company or something
for
like
sure.
That. So that's why overall, I'm just not as intrigued by what goes on in Europe. It's just the same stuff. It's like,
we love the game, we love the league, we watch it, but there's level of stories, yo, America got it.
There's so much more fun to
just the video of Fang and that dude bashing the red car. That wouldn't happen in Europe.
Exactly.
Come on now.
If you haven't seen this, go to the Philadelphia Union Twitter account.
We retweeted it. You can also go to ours, but
right,
check out
now,
at Philly Union.
And because
right after you leave the review, you've promised to leave, go to at Philly Union and just watch it. This is incredible.
Yeah, there is a video, and this was sort of going around because people were like, they got it on their camera phones. And stuff. But Fang and
some actor.
So this is Ed Bassmaster or Bassmaster. I'm not sure how to put it, but this is, he's like a character online. I've seen like videos. I've seen it from time to time, and it's just I don't know him too well, but he's just a guy. He goes, hey, would you look at that?
Yeah,
would you look at that? Right,
that's all he does.
That's all he does. And it's very fun.
God bless the internet.
Very fun. But shout out to Philadelphia Union to like, yo, let's bring this dude in and make some funny content. And you know, and him and Fang are destroying a car that has a New York Red Bull license plate. And it's just, it's super funny. It's just hilarious. So go check it out immediately. Cause, again, this kind of stuff there, when it comes to soccer, the U.S. is one of the few, like, it's the Wild West out here.
Yeah.
When it comes to content, when it comes to just access and
what I love is everyone's like, I don't know, let's try it. Like, that seems to be what's written on the board of all media teams, which wasn't the case when we started this podcast.
I would agree.
When we started this podcast, everyone's like, I don't know, maybe we shouldn't.
Yeah.
Shouts to LA Galaxy for that, shooting stars. That seemed to have opened up the floodgates, and everyone's trying to be like the NBA. Dog, I kind of think like MLS is maybe stepping above that right now.
I would agree.
Who else is smashing an Oldsmobile?
So, you know, even when it comes to, you know what I'm actually been loving? The last couple weeks, I've been seeing MLB stadiums and people taking photos about poor attendance at Major League Baseball stadium.
Yeah, that's been happening forever. There's like 180 games.
There's too many games.
You think Yankee Stadium's going to be filled every time? No.
But there have been some games that have really had like, I mean, these are like 50,000 seat stadiums, and it looks like from one angle, there's just like less than 100 people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, when I was working in Cleveland with Lawhead, he was like, hey, you want to catch an Indians game? And I was like, yeah, let me pull up SeatGeek. And I pulled up SeatGeek, and like, there was a ticket for like $2.
Unbelievable.
And I was like, cause I was actually thinking like, maybe I could get us media passes. Right? Like, I was like, let me email.
The Cleveland Indians are going to charge you for the media passes.
Yeah. They're like, did you bring your own? Because if we print one out, it's going to be like $3. And I was just like, wait, tickets are $2. And we were sitting like eight rows up from third base or first base. I'm like, this is insane.
Okay.
I'm like, here we are.
Okay. Wow. Impressive. I'm impressed you got to first base with Lawhead.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that wasn't the first time. Shouts to Jason Lawhead. Lawhead's court.
Hilarious comic. Hilarious comic. So, okay. So let's
talk. So yeah, shouts to LAFC, who I don't think are going to be stopped this year.
They've been unbelievable.
I mean, look, if MLS Cup is in Los Angeles, I think we'll be fine. You know?
So we did talk about the Philadelphia Union. Let's talk about their game against against Minnesota United.
Did not get a chance to sing Wonderwall.
Did not.
Philly Union. I don't know how they do it, but they're doing it.
They're just good. It's so weird because at the beginning of the year, we were...
Everybody was down on them.
I was. Because I was just like, yo, Harris Madunian, are you going to play defense? Is anybody going to... Is Fabian going to run back? Because it seems...
How are you stopping anybody?
Because they looked really bad in the beginning, and I don't know if it was just Jim Curtin would give him that just one conversation. Maybe he brought out the belt, you know. So it looks, but they just look so much more. I don't know, just confident, more poised.
They look like a squad. They look like a team.
Yeah, and I thought losing out trading out Akam, CJ Sapong.
Yeah.
I thought they were gonna like those. Those are important strikers.
They're better.
And they do seem a lot better. I guess that they're looking for more of... I wouldn't... Because David Akam is not the best of... He's a good winger, but he's not like the best of like passer. He doesn't get many assists this season.
I mean, he has one superpower, which is if you through pass,
he can
chase it down.
Exactly.
And then he's really good at breaking down the defender on one-on-one.
And it looks like the you know, having CJ Sapong be like a hold-up guy, maybe that just isn't the way they want to play.
Yeah.
Because they just look a lot more fluid and just faster and more kind of fun to watch.
And they're really fun to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, I love how like there's like, as soon as there's a strike, if you're a goalkeeper, you better hold on to that ball, because if you parry it, all of a sudden there's like nine Union shirts around you trying to kick it in.
But one of the more impressive things was the free kick from Harris Madunian. It's so strange because the Philadelphia Union are like an amalgamation of like all these different great set of skills, and there's nobody that clearly like... They don't have a Vela that's like, this is clearly the guy you need to stop.
Well, so do you think that makes it better? Would you rather your team have a guy that you know, all right, and when it gets to this person, you're goody? Or would you rather have it where like you don't know? Like, remember the old Jordan rule? Like, all right, we'll just double up Jordan and let the other guys try to beat you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or like double up LeBron, let the other guys try to beat you. You know, JR Swish, you know, let's see if he can carry a team. Would you rather have that, or would you rather have it where it's like the Union, where you're just like, I just everybody try their hardest?
I because I've seen so many examples of this working, I would have to say I would just want that one person, that one guy that can.
I kind of like the way the Union are doing it, where they're like, all right, we're going to give you a bunch of really good players and let's see if you can handle it.
Yeah. I mean, it comes down to like these playoff games, these one single elimination. This is where I don't trust this.
Yeah. But well, you're not wrong.
Yeah. You know, but you know who does trust it? Austin Trusty.
Trusty.
Because he got the game winning goal.
Could you imagine the feeling of being a defender? If you didn't watch it, I can't remember the defender's name. He starts to squat down and head the ball out of the way.
Yes.
And out of nowhere, Trusty's foot goes right in front of his face and just kicks the ball into the goal. Could you imagine that, man, when he was like, how come none hit me?
That was, I believe, Brent Coleman, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, it was a great ball from Elsinho, and it was I forgot who went up for the ball to try to head it first, but missed it, and Coleman just reacted late, because I think everyone expected, outside of Austin Trusty, who was the only one who thought, okay, I think this ball might get through. Brent Coleman, because you don't clear that ball with a header that's at your knees, you know what I mean? And that's sort of what he was doing, because he just didn't expect the ball to get there. But he should have if he was more aware of it, he would have kicked it away. It shouldn't
have been. For sure. If he would have been able to react sooner. If he saw it sooner, he would have been like jumped forward and headed out of the way.
Yeah. But no, a great, happy for the kid, right? I think did he play in the U.S. youth setup? I think he did.
I'm pretty sure he did.
I think it was his first goal of the season. And, I'm sure he doesn't get that many goals. And he was quite happy. So good on him. But the game in general was super entertaining, and like there was a lot of that back and forth. And after having gone to Minnesota and experienced Allianz Field
he played with the U19s and the U20.
Okay,
and he's from Pennsylvania. That's pretty dope.
So hometown kid. So he but after going to Allianz Field, you sort of. Seeing the ambiance and the environment is just incredible. You feel bad when Minnesota they give up these late goals and don't get an opportunity to at least get a point.
But also like Quintero, I mean, he had two chances that were, these are Quintero easy chances.
Yeah.
These are easy chances for Will Trapp. You know what I mean? And he doesn't get it in. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That was the kind of the big surprise. I think a lot of Minnesota United fans I think this is sort of the first time I've been seeing, at least on social media, the frustration with Quintero.
Well, I mean, also when he started, he was just blazing about
it. Last year, he was unbelievable.
So, you know, now you have a better team now. So you want the team to play better on the field.
Do it for Ozzy.
Come on, baby. You think that Guano wants you to lose?
So
they're still in sixth place. I mean, in a tough Western Conference. So they'll be all right.
They will be all right. So next up, let's talk about LA Galaxy against New England. Bruce Arena.
This is the Brooklyn Bowl. The Brooklyn Bowl.
The Brooklyn Bowl. Yes. Not the concert hall.
No. Not that bowling center. This is the Brooklyn Bruce Bowl.
The Brooklyn Bruce Bowl. it's hard to leave your tongue at the Brooklyn Bruce Bowl. New England Revolution do win this game 2-1 at Dignity Health Sports Park.
Which we all name that just flows right off of our tongues.
That's really the big surprise. I mean, they won. They won. Not only did they win, they won a road game.
They won a road game. This is insane. And also, if you're Bruce Arena, well, this is like a great, like, all right, look at us, huh? I could do this with anybody. Yeah. Not the men's national team, but anybody.
Not in Trinidad, but anybody else.
I mean, as long as the game's not played in Trinidad, we good. Do we have to carry any players over a puddle of water? Okay. No?
Did it rain the night before? No thanks. No. Can't do it there.
No, have we not cut the grass in a couple months? But, I mean, this is just, do you think hiring Bruce Arena, and he said on a podcast, I think it was Extra Time, that like 2 weeks ago or like a month ago when they reached out to me, this was like a relatively short sort of love affair in which he was hired. The courting process, the vetting process was very fast. Do you think it was a smart idea to hire Bruce Arena, or do you think they should have went out and tried to get like one of like something like what a modern MLS team would try to do? Get like a Tata or get like a DeBauer or get like a maybe like a young, like a Jesse Marsh.
I wouldn't call it. No, it's not a quote unquote smart move, right? But it's a move that kind of rights the ship and add all New England needs is some just a little bit of confidence, a sense of stability,
just someone just, to say somebody, you're beautiful,
just somebody to say, hey, buddy, get up today. You can do it.
You look great. You look great. You don't got to go far. Let's just go to the bagel shop.
You know, little by little, we'll get there.
The mail's outside. Go pick it up. Huh?
That's all they needed. So, and I think, Bruce Arena provides that kind of paternal kind of energy that I think they could use because it's not the players themselves. You know, it trickles down, right, with the sense of confidence. When you're president, then GM, and when everybody sort of believes in the whole process, it makes things a lot better.
The mood has to be set specifically.
It's really bringing Bruce Arena was fine, a fine move. But firing the GM that's been there for 15 years.
That was the move that needed to be made. Yeah.
They just needed a new set of eyes and to, you know, they needed
someone go, this is what we've been doing for 15 years.
You know, it's like a stepdad arrives and it's like, oh man, you guys really had it bad.
Yeah. Ouch.
You know, no, don't worry. I'm not like him.
And there's no Hungry Man dinners for tonight. We gonna actually cook.
So that's all. It is just somebody who cares and loves. Yeah. You know, it's like when you're married for too long, right?
Right.
It's always, oh, you know, this is not like when
you
we
don't
first
tell me I'm beautiful. Well, you better because the mailman might.
So that's it, man. That's what the New England Revolution are, man.
So they're in 11th out of 12th place in the Eastern Conference, but what, they got to win, baby.
Yeah, but look, it says a lot because the Eastern Conference is very, very tight.
It's also kind of up for grabs. I mean, they're at 16 points. The seventh place, Toronto, is at 18.
But the biggest surprise here is the fact that Atlanta United is in third place because they were in last place, like, I think 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah. When we started this podcast.
Atlanta United, where they were DeBoer out. Petey Martinez is a bust.
Yeah.
You know, Barco's not doing what he's supposed to do.
Barco might be going to what, Newcastle?
I don't even know. Barco is doing amazing at the U20 World Cup.
He's destroying it.
And
until he runs into that juggernaut called America.
We coming for you, Argentina.
France, you done, son.
So, but no, I did read about that. I think the best thing that could have happened to Atlanta United and Darren Eels, because there was that fear that
he was a bust.
That he was a bust. And also that we're going to lose money on him.
Right.
And he's having an amazing World Cup, and yeah, it's so funny because there is like that part of you, like soccer is very much this business while you're also like playing a game, because they have to, you know, Atlanta has to play games without you know, one of their better players,
right?
But then he's also flexing on the world stage,
yeah.
So that means they're gonna get more money for him at some point. So there's like,
this is what you want. You want to show. You want to flex not in the MLS, you know, playoffs. You want to flex in a World Cup,
exactly. And now, and there's clearly scouts from all over the world watching. And Barco,
he's
because
impressed.
Of this tournament, this might be his last year with Atlanta United. That's how quickly the buzz is.
Which, if you're an Atlanta fan, you're like, okay.
Yeah.
yeah, okay.
Okay. So, yeah, all the players' girlfriends are like, oh, that's sad.
Well, I guess my phone battery is going to last a little longer now.
So, look, we can make fun. But look, even though that was a big knock on Ezequiel Barco, and
that started the relationship between him and Atlanta very badly.
Yes. And it makes it difficult to go to work, and it makes it difficult to play.
Someone's DMing my wife. I'm not passing them the ball.
That is pretty simple. Okay?
That's it.
So it will affect his market value. Because, mm-hmm.
You don't want to be a cancer in the locker room either.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. So that could be a concern. But him having a wild World Cup is like,
right.
Then everybody's like, oh, wow. DM who?
Yeah. No, that's fine. No, don't worry about it. Come on over. Yeah. But I'm sure like him
when
and
you
his
say agent. DMs, I hope that means millions.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Dem millions. I'm sure him and his agent will get together and, you know, check Instagram for the players, girls of the teams that are offering. And that's how he'll make his decision. You know, he'd be like, nah, all right, we got some, these are mostly eights. You know what I mean? I need me some nines and tens.
Yo, you're not bringing me the kind of talent I need.
This isn't why I hired you, Hugh Hefner's son, as my agent.
Oh, man. So but again, congratulations to the New England Revolution winning this game.
Yeah, I forgot that's what we were talking about there.
What about that incredible bicycle kick from
Zlatan?
From Zlatan Ibrahimovic. What was better, Zlatan's or Brian's?
I guess Zlatan, because it's Zlatan. You know what I mean?
Well, he did the flick to himself and then did it. I thought Bryan Fernandes, his was more difficult because it came off a header. It came off the ball was coming at a weird angle. And we were still able to do it. But he didn't. He did sort of what you say. He didn't like catch the ball up as much over his head as Zlatan did. Zlatan, the ball was like clearly up in the air above his head. And even though Zlatan, it's weird. Is it more challenging to do a bicycle kick when you're 6'4 or 6'5, whatever Zlatan is, or is it when you're shorter?
And like 37, 38?
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
Compared to Brian Fernandez, who's a smaller guy. So, yeah, it's
you know why Zlatan's better? Because he flips it away from the defender, yeah. And then he does it on purpose. He turns around to do it, and the defender did it a complete 360, trying to figure out where the ball was.
That was Brandon Bye. Yeah, he looked
Brandon Bye.
he looked
like a revolving door.
He got clowned. Yeah. Anybody would get clowned.
I would look like an my pants would be down. I'm like, how did that happen? I would look like an idiot. Did you see the video of DaBaby fighting?
I did.
Cam Cohart.
Yeah.
I would look like Cam Cohart if that happened to me. If you don't know what this is, these are two North Carolina rappers.
Few people who know this. Yeah, two North Carolina rappers. Yeah. They got in a beef at a Gucci store.
I think it was Louis Vuitton. They were at a fancy mall. They took it outside the store to the middle of the mall.
Classy.
And they were both Instagramming each other, clowning each other.
Yes.
And Cam is a bigger dude, and DaBaby is a relatively tough guy, you know?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, there's like a scuffle of the cameras, and the next thing you see is Cam Cohart on the floor, pants down by his knees, and blood coming out of his face, and he looks like a fish out of water. He's like, oh! And it was just embarrassing.
Yes, it looked pretty bad. It's so funny, because I don't know what world sort of, crossover in listening to this podcast.
Because there's like 10% of our fans right now like, damn.
I can't believe the baby did that.
Yeah. And there's a farmer right now Googling Cam Cohart. There's a woman in a minivan pulled over Googling Cam Cohart. So, the baby is one word, D-A-B-A-B-Y.
he's like the new...
Hot new rapper. He's got a great track called Shug.
I like the other one with this dude, with Offset.
Which one's that?
I forgot the name of it, but it's with Offset.
I know the name.
Babysitter?
Of it. Yeah, Babysitter.
That's
yeah.
Great track.
Babysitter's dope. He also has a called Baby Day with Lil Baby. Da Baby and Lil Baby. It's called Baby Day.
Don't confuse Lil Baby with Da Baby, because those are two different people.
No, very confused. First of all, you should know that. Lil says it right there.
Unbelievable. I cannot believe.
Big Baby. I mean, you don't even want that. And there's a rapper just called Baby.
Yeah. Oh, and you know what? Let's talk about the Women's World Cup coming up. It starts this Friday. Speaking of babies, I was crying like a baby watching these commercials.
They're killing it.
Yo, these commercials for the Women's World Cup.
They're making me feel bad on behalf of the patriarchy. Okay. Like, what did we do?
What we did?
As a man. Yo, how did we hurt y'all? Damn.
For real, man. It is incredible. That Nike ad. Yeah, I was getting tears all over my women's national team shirt.
Using it to dry your face, getting your makeup all over it. It's a white shirt. I'll say that the Latino one, the one in Spanish.
Yes, the from Telemundo.
That just reminded me of my mother growing up with a single mother working like five jobs. It hit me so hard.
Yeah, and that one in particular is they show like a mother working at a factory.
My grandmother was a seamstress. My mother
is currently a seamstress. Yeah. She still is. I don't make enough money to not make her do that.
Yeah.
And so it was.
She's like packing her kids lunch, and I remember that. Yeah, I remember being like, yo, why we got to eat rice and beans in school? And she's like, I'm not going to go buy bread and meat. You eat what we eat, you know? It was just, yo, dude, it hit me so hard.
Yeah, it was very, very touching. And also the one from Nike with the little girl that she's the mascot and holding.
That one was great. I showed it to my wife. She's like, I don't get it. I'm like, well, I mean, you have to like soccer to understand how important this is.
Yeah.
But she's like, well, good, this is for women. And I'm like, yes, it is.
But it was really, that one hit me too, because I think it was not only symbolically, because obviously it's like a ridiculous commercial, right? The idea of the mascot playing and all this stuff. But the little girl, the actress, is so
incredible.
She doesn't even talk, really. And just her facial expressions of showing her like gratitude and being like amazed at getting to see these superstars is what got me. I'm like, wow, the fact that we're like, you know, it's advertising and Nike and $1 billion.
Yeah, it's a major corporation. You can say what you want about what their intent is, sure.
But the fact that they can, we can't deny that ads like these can inspire, whether they're targeted for men or for women. And, you know, there've been plenty of commercials when I was a kid that were like inspiring. boring. Oh, no. It made me believe I could do whatever.
All the players playing in the airport, still one of my favorite commercials of all time. Yeah, soccer or not.
Yoga Bonito.
Yeah, Yoga Bonito.
Those were like, oh, my God. It made me fascinated with the sport. And there were a bunch of women in those ads and stuff like that. So it can feel a little not inclusive, right?
Sure.
And then when you see it as from, literally, you're looking like through a little girl's eyes and seeing all these superstars and seeing the effect it has on her. You're like, yo, man, it makes you care so... It made me care more about the women's game.
It also made me feel like, how could you not want this to succeed? You know?
You'd have to be a monster.
I just don't get it. Like, how is your ego that hurt by women playing soccer?
Because there is, even under the ad and the dumb comments of like, you know, people are like, well, objectively, I just prefer watching men play because they are better. And it's just like, yo, dude, that is not the point. No one's arguing what, like, who's better. We know who would win if the men and women played.
Yeah, at least as of right now.
Yeah, we would know. That's not it. But the idea that you can't support it, that you can't be like
insane.
You only support the best things ever. There's no ever scenario.
That's it. So you're not cool with an underdog?
Like ever. So it's just so absurd. Like it's like to imply that watching women at the senior level, at senior international level, is not objectively better than watching some like second, third division England. Like you were ridiculous. Yes, the players might be a little bit better,
yeah,
but they're still playing trash soccer.
Right.
You know what I mean? The quality of the game is not better.
Right.
So
if I hear from a Burnley fan that you don't want to watch the Women's World Cup, I'm going to have some follow-up statements to make.
Have you seen your team?
Yeah. If I hear from a Huddersfield fan that you don't want to... If I hear from a Brighton fan, if I hear from a Houston Dynamo fan, even, if I hear from Pumas fan.
Okay, yeah. Look,
anybody that you don't want to watch, I'm like, yo, hold on a second. Let's stop acting like you're the Galacticos, okay?
Yeah, that's it suggests that, that the games are not entertaining to watch.
It's ridiculous.
There's a million trash-ass soccer games all over the world.
Let's be for real.
Don't specifically call out women because they're women that are playing.
You tell me that you can't go to a women's soccer game or watch a women's soccer game that's not more exciting than minute 2 to minute 88 of the Champions League final?
Correct. Yeah.
Yacht damn mine.
So it was really, really dope. There's been a bunch of ads in a bunch of different countries. The Germany had a specific one for like specific teams.
Yeah.
So it's just been cool to see because it really does feel that like the level of promotion from the big sponsors, from Adidas, from Nike,
it's kicked up a little bit.
It's just like, yo, the belief is that the Women's World Cup can be from a maybe marketing perspective and maybe money making perspective can be just as big as the Men's World Cup.
I think bigger, honestly. I think the proof is in our podcast, right? I mean, you guys can't see the information, but we see it when we have women's soccer players on.
Yeah,
the numbers go through the roof.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And part of it is we don't want to have more women's soccer players on because of that. We just love the fact that they're like, yo, this is undisputable proof. Now, when you have a women's soccer player on, people want to listen to that because they're not getting the content. They're not getting the interviews. They're not getting the multitude of places to see it. Just when Lifetime signed up to be the television channel for NWSL, they were like, we're going to do a pregame and people will go nuts because there's no pregames for these shows, for these games.
Yeah, just treat it with like the respect that you give, you know.
Anything else?
A U18 game.
Ridiculous.
So
you got your Madden or, you know, screen teleprompter thingy with Telestrator. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You get that for a U20 World Cup match. You don't get that for an NWSL match.
Yeah. So it's exciting. And they've done it the right way. And as far as like building up hype for this tournament, I'm like even more hype after watching.
I'm going to put this out there, dog. If we get invited to a men's national team wedding, we're not going. We're not going.
Unless it's two of the players are getting mad to each other.
Then we'll be there.
Then we'll be there.
We'll be there, my guy.
Okay.
Okay.
A little Pride Month marriage.
You think we won't? We will, bro. We're going to show up and we're going to give side eye to all your judgy ass parents.
Okay.
Hey, yo, but we definitely, we 100%, we want to go to Allie Krieger and Ashlyn Harris.
Yeah, so I'm currently editing the video of our media day, which should be done. We'll have it up Thursday. I'll just give myself a deadline.
Okay, there you go.
All right. So
tomorrow.
Yes, tomorrow. You're listening to tomorrow. So that'll be up. Subscribe to our YouTube channel right now so you can make sure that you do not miss it.
And hit the little notification button.
I had put this on Twitter. I was editing it, and I'm like, I can't believe I'm editing this. We were with every women's national team player, everyone interviewing them. Like, it's also funny, right? I don't want any input, but it's weird editing it because I am. I am somewhat conscious or even subconscious
of the fact
that we are comedians, right? Mm-hmm. And we want to kind of show, highlight a different side of the game,
right?
And players and personalities, but. And nothing that we did while there was rude or disrespectful, but there is that concern of like, we're not journalists and we didn't ask them.
We're clearly media adjacent when it comes to these things.
So we weren't dumb, but I'm like, while I'm editing it, I'm like, yo, I think this is really cool, but I don't want people to think that we're not treating these women like serious athletes, which we are.
I honestly think what we do shows more respect.
Okay.
Because we're like, yo, we just want to hang and have a good time. This is their one chance sometimes to do these media events in these scales, and everyone's trying to be super serious. We're giving you the same respect we would give the men's team or any other team.
I agree.
And we're like, yo, we want to joke with you. We want to show your personality. Why you got to walk in here and say the same thing to everybody every time? They got six tables they got to sit at, and every time they do it, they got to answer the same six questions. Nah, son. We come in here with the bands.
So, and there is a lot of it. So, but you know that it's like that. It is on my mind because I do.
I could see how it could be misconstrued as that.
I don't want people to think that we're not
taking it seriously. But also, find me something we do take seriously. But imagine we all of a sudden switched it up. Okay, then that's disrespectful.
Maybe take it seriously is not the right word. It is to show respect. And I think I don't want that to not be there or people to think that we're not showing them respect.
But this is how we treat everybody.
Exactly.
So why wouldn't we do it this way when it's them?
I agree. I'm just, you know, but this is, as a comic, right? These are, you know.
Like, you know how comedians sometimes will make fun of the people they like?
Yes.
Somebody walks in a room, you make fun of them if you like them. And they're like, yo, why are you making fun of them? Because if I didn't, that would mean I don't like them.
Okay. Yeah.
We poke fun. We have a good time, right? We play silly games sometimes or we, you know, we have games attached to the questions we ask. We do that with everybody. Why wouldn't we do that with the Women's World Cup team?
Exactly. Yeah. And there'll be a lot of fun. It's generally and genuinely fun and silly. Yeah.
And we're doing it because we absolutely adore the fact that we get a chance to talk to these titans of the game.
This is just a warning for people that, just to hype up this video a little bit.
Yeah.
This video is so heavy on us really, really trying to get invited to this wedding.
It's a big portion of it.
It's the majority of the video, to be honest.
Two things stand out on that day. Three things. We got hugged by Allie. Right? We begged to be invited to her wedding. Probably not in that order. And three, I love Hairbender from Stumptown. Shouts to Eric Keating.
So, yes, that's really what the plot points of this video.
We were in front of Alex Morgan,
Carly Lloyd,
all of them. We were spending our time trying to get invited to a wedding, and not because we think it's good for the show. We want to be at this wedding so bad. We won't even talk about it on the show.
It would just be an honor. That would be so wild.
And by the way, I'll be Christians plus one. We won't invite our ladies. Hell no. And we're going to dance salsa.
Okay. Okay. And I'm going to wear a dress.
I'm merengue. Are you kidding? I'll also wear a dress. We're not wearing dresses. But I will 100% dance the night away.
Yeah.
You got no questions.
Yes, that would be beautiful.
And if you think for a second I'm not going to destroy that cocktail hour, my guy.
So look out for that. So, okay. Yeah, like we said, so the World Cup starts this Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, June 7th. It is kicking off with France and South Korea.
Oh yeah.
We're gonna be covering the games. On our episodes, we're gonna be trying also to get a couple people that are at the World Cup, either some right. journalists and
subject
stuff,
matter experts,
to call into the show and really let's really enjoy this Women's World Cup. And the Gold Cup is also going to be happening starting real soon,
right?
We're going to go in heavy on this Women's World Cup, man. It's gonna
absolutely
be a lot of fun.
And if you as fans have someone that you think should be calling into the show, let us know.
Yeah, do that.
Also, shoot us a tweet.
Shout out to Total Soccer Show, because they've done their Women's World Cup previews, and they go through every group, and it's frankly the best insight from any sort of form of media that I've consumed. Total Soccer Show has been so on point. If you want to learn about the Women's World Cup and the players on like sort of the standout players on every team, so that when you're watching, you're not just like watching the red team against the blue team or whatever.
Yeah.
You actually know who's who and what, and kind of like what their strengths are. Listen to the Total Soccer Show and their World Cup previews, because they're second to none.
I'm trying to pull up the review so I could see exactly what he said. What he called them.
The beards.
Yeah.
What was it?
Oh god, it was so funny.
The Brit and the Lumberjack.
And the Lumberjack with the prepubescent voice. And listen to those guys. They're absolutely great.
They should rename the show. Yeah. This is strong branding, right?
Total Soccer Show. I think we got something a little better. A little something that I think just hits the nail on the head.
So that's it. Anything else to add, Alexis?
I'm going to be back on HQ.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm back on HQ today, if you listen to this on Wednesday, at I believe 8 or 6, 6 or 8, I'm not sure.
You should know this.
Hold on, I'll pull it up while we're talking.
So, we weren't sure if we could announce it just yet, but thank you to the people who did watch Alexis.
And commented.
And commented.
It was huge.
On HQ. So make sure you do that again as soon as he knows what time he's going to.
8 p.m.
8 p.m. on the HQ app. You can do HQ Sports again or just HQ
Sports? It's HQ Sports. Yeah, so listen up, 8 o'clock. It's going to be dope.
Yeah.
It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. So thank you to everyone who did, like I was saying before, thank you to everyone who did watch, because when you support us and the other things that we do, it is genuine. It genuinely helpful. And this is this second opportunity probably does not happen without Cool Against Fans showing some love.
Absolutely. And it's one of those things that, like, I tried to put in some stuff in there just to signal to the Cool Against Fans that I'm saying hello.
Yeah.
Like at the end, I said, stay gully. I'm keeping that, of course. Like I'm trying to show you guys love, because I just know how much love they show us.
Sure.
And this is big for our show. This is big for Christian and I, when we get these opportunities. You know, people were supportive. They came out to see you in that play. People in this opportunity, they're sending nice messages. These things are huge. Everyone who comes out to Two Boots, everyone comes out to Illuminati Party, this means the world. Even just at the Champions League.
Yeah,
you know?
That was so awesome.
People walking up, literally walking in and being like, yo, I'm here because of you. Like for us, that's massive.
Yeah, that was super, super nice.
Just the Stacks who showed up in the Everton. Mad disrespectful.
Love. the straight up disrespect.
Yeah, that's gully.
Yeah, it's as gully as it gets.
Yeah.
All right. So that's it. Thank you again for listening to the show. Thank you again to the Portland Timbers for signing. This is like
this is insane.
I'm getting emotional. This is beautiful.
It's beautiful.
But thank you for the incredible gift.
I can't believe we own a part of Providence Park.
Hey. Hey,
I can't believe we're now shareholders of the Timbers.
Yeah.
That's how it works, right?
Okay, when the next transfer, you gotta get our input first before you meet me.
How much, Sam? Why don't you let me crunch the numbers a little bit?
Okay, the final decision is up to the Cooligans.
Yeah.
So, thank you again. Thank you so much for all the people who helped us, like we said before, helped us get to those 200 episodes, to the 201st episode. We appreciate it. And a lot of just fun, big things coming soon for the Cooligans, and watch the Women's World Cup, man.
Please do
tune in, because these games are going to be dope, and it's not definitive that the U.S. is just going to run right through it. The games are going to be pretty competitive.
It's going to be a fun one. And there's so much. There's the end of the U-20 World Cup. There's the Gold Cup. And there's the World Cup. I mean, there's just a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. Okay? You're not leaving your house. All right? You're going to have 14 streams going on at once.
You got a lot of devices also. And you know it. If you want want to find out about the games, at least the fun stuff that's happening at it, you got to come to Cooligans, baby. Right. And shouts to all Gully Squad members. Thank you so much. Maybe we'll add some second episodes to cover all these games that are happening.
Exactly. So we're going to be doing putting out a bunch of more stuff. So again, thank you again for listening. We appreciate you. We love you. So with that said, my name is Christian Polanco.
I am Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!